Hello, beautiful people. How are you feeling today? Are you feeling amazing? Are you feeling good? Or are you excited to learn something new? I'm sure you are excited to learn something new. And now we're going to return back to chapter number two, which is understanding relationships in businesses. What is a relationship? Thinking in terms of a dyadic relationship, that is a relationship between two parties. If we take this interaction over time as a critical feature, we can define the term relationship as follows. A relationship is composed of a series of interactive episodes between two parties over time. A relationship is a social construct. That is to say, a relationship exists if people believe that a relationship exists and they act accordingly. It is also apparent that relationships can be unilateral or reciprocal. Either one or both of the parties may believe they are in a relationship. A relationship has been said to exist only when the parties move from a state of independence to dependence or interdependence. When a customer buys an occasional latte from a coffee shop, this is a transaction, not a relationship. If the customer returns repeatedly because she likes the store's atmosphere, the way the coffee is prepared for, or has taken a shine to the barista, this looks more like a relationship. And while in this instance there is dependence of the customer on the coffee shop, there is no interdependence. Change within relationships. Relationships definitely change over time. Parties become closer or more distant. Interactions become more or very less because people evolve. They can vary considerably, both in number and variety of episodes and the interactions that take place within those episodes. Dwyer has identified five general phases through which customer-supplier relationships can evolve. Awareness, exploration, expansion, commitment, customer loyalty. Awareness is when each party comes to the attention of the other as a possible exchange partner. Most prospective customers start at the awareness phase, where a user has a problem or need and looks for an answer, whether it's within the community or the internet or elsewhere. At this point, customers mostly seek educational content and about the services that could solve their problems. Every user is looking for an answer, and that's why Google is such a big hit. It answers almost all our questions. These customers prefer educational thought leadership over promotional or product-oriented insights. So organizations should not go aggressively on pushing products on their customers. Instead, marketing teams can show how their offerings can address customer needs, like listing benefits, listing how it can solve the problem in the most efficient way, so on and so forth. Common marketing practices for this phase include online ads, educational offers, white papers, ebooks, anything and everything that can educate the customer and take the customer from the awareness phase to the exploration or the consideration phase. What is the exploration or the consideration phase? It is a phase wherein the period of investigation and testing during which the other parties are exploring each other's capabilities and performance. Some trial purchasing takes place. If the trial is unsuccessful, the relationship can be terminated with few costs. But if it doesn't, then it can go to the next level. So you're right now in the consideration phase where you're considering whether to go forward with this company or product or service or not. Ultimately, if marketing teams can address major issues that prospects have, they can help move those customers into the next customer journey phase. What is that? Expansion or purchase or decision. It is the phase in which there is an increasing interdependence. More transactions take the place and trust begins to develop. The first two phases weigh heavy on marketing teams as they continuously capture and nurture leads. If someone who engages with a brand makes it to the decision or purchase phase, they become a marketing qualified lead ready to engage with sales or support engineers. Sometimes people enter the customer journey in this phase if they initially request demos, ask for quotes, or want to speak to a sales representative. These individuals may fill out a business's contact form or other conversion points lower in the sales funnel, including a paid campaign that targets the bottom end of the funnel. The fourth phase is the commitment or retention phase. It is the phase in which it is characterized by increased adaptation and mutual understanding between roles and goals. Purchasing processes that have become automated are a sure sign of commitment. That means how committed the customer is towards the brand or towards the product. In the retention phase, organizations can implement a loyalty program or knowledge-based FAQs and regularly communicate company or product advancements to customers. Organizations could also hold regular training sessions for their products or offer additional promotions throughout the customer lifecycle. Regular communication can lead to increased customer engagement, further educating them and creating more value for customers. What is this going to do in the first place is not let your customer go to A to B, instead stick to A, which is your brand, your product, your service. You want the customer to be retained at any given point possible. Considering the amount of competition in the market, retention phase is the most important for any brand, any company today. Customer retention is more cost effective than acquiring a new customer. Customer retention is more cost effective than customer acquisition. The reason I am repeating it constantly is because you got to focus on retention once acquisition has happened. While you keep acquiring new customers, don't let the current ones go. If organizations can decrease turnover, enable positive customer experience, and offer high quality goods and services, customers are more likely to return and spread that news through word of mouth within their circle, within their network, within their people they hang out with. Customer loyalty or advocacy comes after great customer experience. It's about how the brand makes you feel at the end of the day. Customers who have meaningful experiences with an organization's product or services can become vocal supporters for the brand. Imagine you went to a restaurant yesterday and you loved the way they treated you, right from the manager to the people who served you, to the watchman who greeted you, to the valet guy. Customers only remember one thing: how you made the customer feel. That is it. Nothing else. That is going to lead to customer loyalty, which is going to lead to supporters for the brand, fans of the brand, and they are going to then become your vocal supporters. Customer advocacy can lead to word of mouth marketing, which can attract new customers to the brand. Many individuals make purchase decisions based on case studies and success stories from their peers. When one person tells two friends and so on and so forth, organizations can trace that effect to revenue growth if tracked correctly. Customer advocacy and customer loyalty can lead you to get new customers at a very low cost because it's going to be because of word of mouth. Some customer advocacy or loyalty programs, for example, Starbucks Rewards. With the Starbucks Rewards program, each purchase brings a customer closer to free drinks and food. To earn Starbucks loyalty stars, you need to order or pay using a special app, which is Starbucks' own app, wherein you can load your own money and use it. Amazon Prime, which is a premium Amazon membership that provides its regular buyers with a bunch of benefits: access to the sale earlier, faster delivery, free deliveries, so on and so forth. The next and the most important phase is trust. Trust is an issue, especially in the early stages of any relationship development, when the parties have little or no knowledge about the other person or experience that they have with each other. Trust emerges as parties share experiences and interprets and assesses each other's motives. What is the motive behind this person coming to me, or vice versa? Trust is focused. That is, although there may be a generalized sense of confidence and security, these feelings are directed one party may trust the other party's benevolence or believe that the other party acts in the interests of the other. Honesty, a belief that the other party's word is reliable or credible. Competence, a belief that the other party has the necessary expertise to perform as required. Commitment. Commitment is an essential ingredient for successful long-term relationships. Morgan and Hunt define relationship commitment as follows. Commitment is shown by an exchange partner believing that an ongoing relationship with another is so important as to warrant maximum effort to maintain it. That is, the commitment party believes that the relationship is worth working on to ensure that it endures indefinitely. If you're committed to somebody or something, you need to know that this relationship is worth working on or giving your full into. You're 100%, you're 500%. Especially when it's a customer and a brand. Commitment is only the result of trust, shared values, and the belief that the partners will be difficult to replace. Commitment motivates partners to cooperate in order to preserve relationship investments. Commitment means partners eschew short-term alternatives in favor of more stable, long-term benefits associated with the current partners. Relationship quality. This discussion of trust and commitment suggests that some relationships can be thought to be of better quality than the others. Research into relationship quality generally cites trust and commitment as the core attributes of high quality relationships. However, several other attributes have also been identified, including relationship satisfaction, mutual goals, and cooperative norms. Some of these attributes are courtesy, delivering the responses in calm voice with courtesy and sympathetic sense could dramatically act as a catalyst in driving customer satisfaction. Availability. It is important for an organization to make its executives always available for customers for responding and dealing with customer queries and needs. Responsive. The suppliers should always have prompt, responsive, and experienced executives to share and serve customers. Intelligence. A supplier should be intelligent enough to deal with the situations and offer the best price and deal so that the customer is not lost to the supplier, who is able to make some substantial profit, if not more. Futuristic. Always be futuristic to technological changes. An organization should always focus on re-innovating, renovating businesses strategies periodically and convince the customers accordingly. When you're futuristic, you breed innovation in the organization and re-innovate a lot of strategies as much as possible wherever you feel the need of change. Relationship satisfaction is not the same as commitment. Commitment to a supplier comes as investments are made in the relationship, and investments are only made if the committed party is satisfied with the transactional history. In other words, investments are made in relationships that are satisfactory. Mutual goals are present when the parties share objectives that can only be achieved through joint action and relationship continuity. Cooperative norms are seen when relationship parties work together constructively and interdependently to resolve problems, not the other way around. Relationship building as a process. The foundation of effective CRM is built on interactive process of learning and customization. We learned that in chapter 1 as well. Companies interact with their customers and learn about them, who they are, what do they want, how much they buy, and how much does it cost to serve these customers. This analysis will show that many of the loyal customers make disproportionate contributions to profitability. Therefore, it is imperative for companies to keep these customers. By analyzing this data, they will be able to identify the profitable customers. Data is going to tell you which customer is profitable and which one is not. To retain these customers, companies have to learn to tailor their offerings to suit the requirements of these profitable customers. The below model is one approach towards building a good customer relationship. This is the customer relationship model, wherein you align systems with goals and strategy, consolidate customer data, segment the customers, personalize customer interactions, and reevaluate and recalibrate the CRM strategy. Starting from aligning to consolidation to segmenting to personalization and reevaluation. The five core steps in the CRM, which is the customer relationship model. Ladder of customer loyalty. The ladder of loyalty shows the different stages through which a prospect becomes a customer, a client, and finally a partner. First rung, prospects. Consumers at the bottom of the ladder are prospects. Prospects begin as suspects that may fit the ideal customer profile but may not know anything about your business and have no previous contact with you or any of your marketing material. They know a bit about your business and you learn that they fit the ideal customer profile. They may have interacted with your marketing material by clicking on a link in a tweet or visited your storefront for the first time. These are people who are usually just getting to know more about your brand or just aware about what the brand is doing, what are the different things that you do, or so on and so forth. These are the customers at the bottom of the ladder. Prospects are curious and intrigued by your business, but they're also weighing options from other competitors. To inspire them to move up the ladder and become customers, you can nurture them with inbound marketing. Now, you can keep sharing emails to them, keep sharing social media posts to them, keep targeting them on ads, keep targeting them via Google Ads, and so on and so forth. Second rung, customers. Customers are your first-time buyers. They've purchased your product or service and have begun to form opinions about it already. They haven't yet ruled out your competitors, but aren't immediately ready to drop them for you. So, to encourage these customers to move along the loyalty ladder, consider the following practices. Number one, create an onboarding program that teaches customers how to use your products. They're learning from a trained professional on how to obtain maximum value from what they've just bought. Create marketing content that meets them at their stage in the buyer's journey and incorporate remarketing practices. Constantly providing exceptional customer service is the key to great content and marketing. Number three, overall, the goal is to give them a customer experience that shows they've made the right choice in doing business with you. Once you've proven this, they'll move on to become clients. Third rung, clients. You might be wondering, what's the difference between clients and customers? I'll tell you. After significant nurturing and satisfaction, customers become clients. They're no longer interested in competitors and they will make repeat purchases because they already know you delight them. Customer delight is what you have to achieve in whatever business you are in, whether it's teaching, training, product, service, phones, earphones, whatever. However, just because they have displayed loyalty, this shouldn't be ignored because these clients can regress to customers or fall off the rung entirely if you're not holding up your end of the bargain. You constantly have to fulfill your brand's promise and communicate with these clients through relationship marketing. It can be sending them offers on their birthdays, anniversaries, sending them emails, sending them new products, sending them some free offers, so on and so forth. If these clients start losing interest in your business, show them that you are not giving up on them and continue to provide the experience that led them to become clients in the first place. Solicit customer feedback and treat it as the most important part for your clients. And understand what is the buyer behavior to create more personalized experiences, which is going to get you customers to retain and become clients always. After consistent experiences, these clients will reach the final rung of the customer loyalty ladder, advocates. Now, what are customer advocates? Which is the last rung, advocates. Advocates, sometimes called as brand evangelists, are extremely loyal customers. They're unlikely to fall back down from the ladder. They love what you have to offer. they make repeat purchases and your competitors are no longer on their radar. Nevertheless, it's still important to provide them with the experience they've come to expect, especially since they drive significant revenue and are free marketers for your business. The principle of advocacy marketing states that the businesses that provide consistent customer service, experience, and valuable products will create advocates that can't help but share their experience with others. You want advocates in any business. They should be sharing what they felt with other people to get you more business, more clients, and more inflow. The loyalty ladder is as simple as this. Starting from a prospect where the person is likely to become a future purchaser, to a customer, which is a first time purchaser, to a client, which is a repeat purchaser, to a supporter, tries your new products as well, to an advocate, which is a brand champion. And your loyalty keeps on increasing from bottom to top. The most loyal is the advocate, supporter, client, customer, prospect, respectively. Moving up the ladder, how do you take a suspect through levels of the customer loyalty ladder to be an evangelist for your business? The most important factor here is the culture of your business. Your sales team must not think of a sale as the end. They should think of a sale not as closing a deal, but opening a new opportunity. You must have great people who live and breathe by this culture. It is a great idea to have rewards programs in your businesses for sales team members who move customers up the loyalty ladder. Having different levels of service for different customers is another helpful factor. Building the right relationship with the right customers. In order to fulfill the marketing strategy and capture maximum value from customers, the firm must build the right relationships with the right customers. In order to do so, customer relationship groups model can be used. It classifies customers based on their potential profitability for the company and leads to a way to manage the relationships with the different categories of customers accordingly. This is due to the fact that each group of customers require a different relationship management strategy, right? From a different kind of communication to a different person interacting with them, so on and so forth. The four categories of customers according to the customer relationship groups model are butterflies, true friends, strangers, and barnacles. The name of these groups already indicate the specific relationship management strategy required, but based on the projected profitability of that group for the business. So you need to understand what kind of profitability a particular group of customers can get for the business and get them to treat accordingly. As simple as this diagram, projected loyalty from low to high, potential profitability from low to high. Strangers fall in the lowest of both. Butterflies fall in the highest side of potential profitability, but loyalty is not so much. True friends are the extreme top right, which is the highest profitability plus highest profitability. Wherein barnacles are the most loyal, but might not give you the highest profitability or potential profitability. As simple as that. And having said that, you need to understand that you need to achieve true friends for your business at any cost possible. More true friends, the better it is for you. Strangers offer only low potential profitability and also little projected loyalty. They simply do not fit the company's offerings and constantly are not profitable. The relationship management strategy for strangers is rather simple. Don't invest anything in them, which is to say that strangers should be dropped immediately. Better than strangers are butterflies for the company. These are at least potentially profitable, although not very loyal. Butterflies have needs that fit the company's offerings. That is, the company's offerings are in line with the needs of butterflies. But the term butterflies also reveals the negative side of them. Like real butterflies, you can enjoy them only for a short while and then they will be gone. Therefore, it is very hard to build a long-term relationship with butterflies. Attempts to do so are rarely successful. Very difficult to convert butterflies into true friends or a barnacle. In contrast to strangers and butterflies, barnacles are highly loyal. However, they are not profitable. Between barnacles' needs and the company's offerings, there is only one very limited fit, meaning that they make no full, not even large, partly use of the firm's offerings. However, they do it over a long period of time and regularly. Therefore, relationship management strategy calls for attempts to increase their profitability for the firm. Example, by trying to sell them more or by raising fees, maybe even by reducing service to them. Yes, if they cannot be made profitable, which will often be the case, barnacles should be dropped. Since they are still loyal customers, this may be highly difficult to drop them, but you will have to because they are not profitable for you anymore. In most cases, there is no other way than to actually fire them. Finally, we arrive at true friends, which we all need in life and in business both. True friends are the best customers for any company from all customer relationship groups. In contrast to the three groups that we just discussed, they are profitable and at the same time loyal. They fit between their needs and the company's offerings is very, very strong. It's like almost an overlap. As a consequence, the firm should totally focus on acquiring true friends and maintaining relationships with them. The relationship management strategy involves making continuous investments in the relationship to not only satisfy these customers, but to keep delighting them every now and then. Then their base can be nurtured, retained, and in the best desirable case, be grown in order to convert true friends into true believers. True believers is the maximum value a customer can reach for a company. They come back regularly and spread the word about their satisfaction and positive experiences with the company, their products or services. So try and achieve as many true believers as you can, hire a step further, a notch further versus true friends. Why do companies want relationships with customers? The fundamental reason for companies wanting to build relationships with customers is economic. Companies generate better results when they manage their customer base in order to identify, acquire, satisfy, and retain profitable customers. There is little merit in growing the customer base aimlessly. The goal must be to retain existing customers and recruit new customers that have future profit potential or are important for other strategic purposes. Other things being equal, a large customer base does deliver better business performance. Similarly, as customer retention rate rise or defection rates fall, so does the average tenure of a customer. Reduce marketing costs. Improving customer retention reduces companies' marketing costs significantly. Less money needs to be spent replacing churned customers. For example, it has been estimated that it costs for at least 20 times as much to recruit a new client than it does to retain an existing client via many advertising agencies. 20 times. So that is the importance of retention. Major agencies can spend up to $4 million on research, strategic analysis, and creative work in pitching for one major client, with up to four creative teams working on different executions. An agency might incur these costs several times over at its pitching to several prospective clients to replace a lost client. In addition to reducing the cost of customer acquisition, cost to serve existing customers also tends to fall over time. Ultimately, as in some business-to-business markets, the relationship may become fully automated. Some supply chain relationships, for example, employ electronic data interchange that fully automates their ordering, inventory, and invoicing processes. EDI is a relationship investment that acts as an exit barrier. Better customer insights. As customer tenure lengthens, suppliers are able to develop a better understanding of customers' requirements and expectations. Customers also come to understand what a supplier can do for them and cannot. Consequently, suppliers become better placed to identify and satisfy customer requirements profitably, selling more product and service to the retained customers. Over time, as the relationship deepens, trust and commitment between the two parties is likely to grow. Under these circumstances, revenue and profit streams from customers become more secure. One study, for example, shows that the average online clothing customer spends 67% more and grocery customers spend 23% more in months 31 to 36 of a relationship than they spend in the months 0 to 6. That's almost in the third year versus the first 6 months of the business. In sum, both the cost and revenue sides of the profit equation are impacted by one thing, which is customer retention. Thank you.